Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I love the excitement.
Yes.
How many feel the energy of what God has already done, what God's continuing to do? This is an awesome, awesome day. I had a schedule up here. There we go. I'm a schedule freak, and I can't, you know, I got to have a schedule. But we are glad you are here this morning. We know that God's going to do a great thing, and we're going to hear some stories of how God has worked in the past to encourage us for what he's going to do in the future as well. Before we start, I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and that'll help us here. How many have been in Dover Assembly 5 years? 5 years in the 5 years. How many have been here 10 years? How about 15? All right, 20. 25. Wow. 30. 30. 35. Wow. 1, 2, 3, 40. You're done. You know, if I ask if you've been here 75, how many?
They're all 39. Judy's here 40.
Judy, 40, okay. All right, 45. Anybody 45? All right. Oh, there's some 40. I get that young guy back there. Oh, wait. Is that Kendra, 45 years? All right, 50. All right, then we're okay. Well, praise the Lord. Would you, I'm going to welcome our special guests this morning. Most of them you know. I think most of you, all of you know them. We're going to start with the furthest one back, Reverend Herb and Kay Weierbach. Would you stand? Reverend Tim and Rhonda Imes, would you stand? Reverend Dave and Yvette Sproul. And this is a person you'll know because he's been here many times. Pastor Randy Rhodes, would you stand? And the boss is here as well, Pastor Steve and Marjorie Torva, would you stand? All of them have had some part in bringing this church to where it is today. And we are so appreciative of their leadership and they're following God's lead in bringing this church to this point today. And we're glad they're with us today. We celebrate them. We honor them for what they've done. And we are excited for what God is going to continue to do, built on the foundation that they started. Praise the Lord. As you know, we also run a Spanish service that follows our normal morning service. And I've asked our Spanish pastor to come up and introduce those folks as well.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Luis Nunez. I'm the pastor for the Spanish people in the afternoon right here. I write something because I don't speak English very well. But I write something, but I want to say, you know, thank you to God first. And then, you know, the Pastor Anna and Pastor Jeff and Anna for open, you know, and the Holy, you know, the, I'm sorry. I am a representative of the Spanish community. We are so grateful, primarily with God and then with we have to say thanks to the Pastor Jeff and Anna and all the American congregation for opening your heart and doors of this beautiful church without any doubt that with the Holy Spirit is in this place.
Amen.
Dover, Assembly of God, is the church, the new beginnings. And we say thank you to everyone. Thank you, Pastor.
And last, I get to introduce the power behind the throne kind of thing. The girl who gets all the work, and I get all the credit. That would be my wife, Anna. Would you stand this morning as we open in prayer and enter into worship? Father, we thank you so much for what you've done in our lives, what you've done in our church, and we're especially grateful for what you're going to do. Father, I pray your blessings and your anointing upon this service from beginning to end, Lord. This is your church. We honor you with our worship. We honor you with our celebration. You are the forefront of all that we do. I pray as we enter into worship that the Holy Spirit moves in our midst, does great and mighty things in our lives, and continues to work through each and every person here, so that when we leave today, we'll feel and we'll know that we have been touched by God. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us and your constant, constant care. Father, we commit this service to you, this celebration to you, the anniversary to you. It's all for you. And we do it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.
Trust in Jesus' name.
Through Take a hold of the person's hand alongside you this morning, would you, Father? How great you are. How great you are. Lord, your word teaches us that it is important that we remember, that we take time to remember. Whether it be your son's sacrifice on the cross for our sins, or your deliverance for your children from Egypt's hand. And Lord, that's what today is all about. It's about remembering your greatness and your goodness. That has transpired for 75 years in this community. To remember the miracles, to remember the hand of God, to remember your deliverance, to remember your rising up, the lives that were touched, the families that were changed. So Lord, I thank you for that one whose hand we hold today. This is your day, and we celebrate you. We give you praise this morning. And Lord, we pray that you will be pleased with everything you see and everything you hear. We want you to know, Lord, that we love you. And it has been our joy to serve you all these years. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. Turn around and greet some folks this morning.
Some things never change. The meet and greeting is the best part of this service, isn't it? It's good to have everybody here at Dover Assembly of God this morning. I told your pastor as we came in, I said, it's kind of funny you asked me to invite visitors because there's a lot of people here I don't know, and some of you aged a little bit and I don't recognize you. So y'all look like visitors to me. But it's good to have everybody here. I know we shared at the beginning of how many people have been here 10, 20, 30, 40 years. But maybe this morning, this is your very first time being at Dover Assembly of God. And we just want to welcome you. It's a very special service today. And in front of you, there's just a little card here, a blue card. Just ask you if you could fill that out. Or maybe you haven't been here for a while, and maybe, Pastor, would you like to get in touch with some people? There you go. We'll update your information and or even our information, because we had some trouble communicating there a little bit. But we'll, if you could take the opportunity and fill that out, that way the church can just thank you for coming today. And it's just a blessed time to be able to be here, and we just thank you for being part of what God is doing at Dover Assembly of God.
Let's take just a moment and continue to worship God through the taking up of our tithes and offerings and the things that God has so richly blessed us with. If we could please bow for prayer. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity that you've given us today, Lord, to be here today, to worship you, God, to look back on the wonderful things you've done, and to look in faith, God, for the wonderful things you will continue to do here, God, in our lives, in this assembly, and in this community. We ask, God, that you would please bless these tithes and offerings that we give to you, Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And gentlemen, you can come on forward.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Okay. My name is Kay Weirbach. Some of you have looked at me. Mim Beamer. I just saw somebody I know. Okay. Sometimes I've had to reintroduce myself to some people because I look decidedly different than when I was here before. But I assure you, I am Kay Weirbach, and I am married to Herb, and we have two girls. You remember Andrea and Amy, and they have 10 children between them. I hope if you're staying at lunch, I hope that I will get to see you, and I brought pictures of them, and also pictures of you all that go back a very, very long time ago, more than 25 years. So please make sure you see the photo albums I have, and you'll recognize some of you when you were a little younger, and some of you that were a little shorter and now that are very tall. But it is my incredible privilege to introduce to you and reintroduce to you these four young women. And I'm going to lose it. I have literally known them since they were like 5 and 6 years old. They were piano students and voice students, and they formed a group that we called Hearts of Fire. We competed in teen talent, Pastor Steve and Margie, you remember those days, and then it became fine arts, and they did very well, thank you. This small community of Dover sent some really fabulous people to nationals, and they scored very well. Paul Ferrand was one of our judges when we were at nationals, so that was, you would recognize that name, and it was really wonderful to be with them. But the most incredible thing is that these four young ladies all serve Jesus. What a testimony. We have good friends, Sue and Jeff Duffield, and my husband's literally known them since he was like 12, and as they grew up together. And Sue wrote a song a bunch of years ago called Power to Keep. And it was her testimony the day that she got saved. She was 8 years old. And there was also, that same day, the town drunk got saved. And everybody crowded around him, and, oh, this is so wonderful, and they kind of ignored this eight-year-old. And she said, but Jesus has the power to keep. That's their testimony. These young women who I've known for so much part of their life have enriched my life and have blessed me and have blessed other congregations and blessed their children by raising them to know Jesus Christ. So I want to introduce you to, this is Rennie Walter Brown, okay? You're going to hear her in a minute. And this is Julie Wakeman Perret. This is Carol Parthree Wilson and Holly Beecher Feaser. When I was dark hair, people used to think she was my daughter. And thank you, Joanne and Gary, for sharing that with me. You know, I don't mind being accused of being, I would take any of these girls. But, I called you girls again. When I left, when we moved from here in 1989, they were all, we were younger then than they are now. So it's been a long, long time since we've been here. And they were still girls. But now they are wonderful Christian women. And I present to you now Hearts of Fire.
So many souls have tested him throughout the course of time. So many still reach out to him with broken hearts and minds. And every one of them will say, with no exceptions, that they find Jesus never fails. Even in the days of old, he brought his people through. And then he came to show his love when he died for me and you. And then he rose again to prove that every promise had been true. Jesus never fails.
testify, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get me behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail.
That was powerful. Amen? Amen. Show your appreciation again, would you? One of the best things about remembering is having folks you were there with at that particular time. And I've asked each of these gentlemen to share. Now, remember they're preachers, okay? I asked 10, 15 minutes. In preacher code, that's like 2 hours. So we are trying to be out of here by noon, but no guarantees. I've asked them to come up and share their heart and some things that really impressed them over their time here. So I'm going to introduce Reverend Herb Weirbach. Why don't you come up, my brother.
It's good to be home. And I consider this place home. It's hard for me to follow Hearts of Fire. I've turned into a blubbering idiot as the years have gone by. And my girls think it's because I don't like to hear them sing or play or whatever. And it's not that. It's just that I'm so proud of the kids and what they have done in their lives that I am so grateful to God. And it just gets to me every time. And I was listening to the girls rehearse yesterday, and I started bawling like a baby. And I had to leave the sanctuary, and now I have to follow them, and I have to try to get myself back together again here. It's good to be with you. My girls wanted to be here, Andrea and Amy. They were born here at this church, but circumstances has arisen, and they're not able to be here today. But they send you greetings. Andrea, as Kay already said, she has made me a grandfather 8 times over. And Amy, who is at church today, she lives in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. She was waiting for Noah's Ark to pick her up this morning and take them to church. They are really getting it down in the Carolinas today. And she has 2 boys, 2 hyper boys. So I have 10 grandchildren. And then this past April, my number one grandson did the unthinkable. He made me a great-grandfather. I am way too young to be a great-great-grandfather. Anyway, but it is wonderful to have grandkids. Let me tell you, they are parents' revenge on their kids. They're just great. Last Sunday, the family was up from West Virginia, Andrea and the boy, and I had one of the great-great-great joys in my life, and that was one of my grandsons, Joshua. It was his birthday, but I also had the privilege up in Altoona at Abundant Life Church to baptize him in water. And that was absolutely thrilling to me. To begin with here, I guess it all started when we got out of school, right out of college in 76. Kay and I went to Carlisle under the leadership of Pastor John Castellani, who was pastoring in Bethel Assembly at that time. We went there in March. And when we got there, they were into an Easter campaign, an Easter outreach. And that was very big back then. Harold Crosby was the Christian education director of our district. And Brother Castellani's goal was to hit 1,000 people on Easter Sunday morning. His church was running around 450, 500 at the time. And I got to watch him work this Easter campaign out and watch how their bus captains worked and how it was just a great learning experience for me. And then in April, we went out to Jack Hyles' church, who did pastors' conferences. We were out there for about a week, and he talked about church growth, so forth and so on. And then in October of that year, there was a sectional meeting here. I came here with Pastor Castellani. He met with the committee, sectional committee downstairs. And I walked down this hallway up on this platform, exactly where I am right now. And something happened. I just felt so at home, so familiar with this place. And it was the first time I had ever been here. Went home and I shared with Kay about it and kind of went on. A few months later, around in November, the Lord woke me up at 3:00 in the morning and began to lay this church for some reason on my heart that I did not know at that time. Then in December, at the end of December, we heard that Pastor Murray had left the church. And that the church was going under the district and was becoming a dependent assembly. The Lord woke me up and told me that I was going to come here. We went home and we told our parents that what the Lord had laid on their heart. But my problem was, Pastor Castellani was also the presbyter of the section, and I had just joined his church. How was I going to tell him that the Lord wanted me to come to Dover? And I did not know what to do. In January, at the end of January, Pastor Castellani came into my office and he said, Herbie, he said, I want you to go with me to the bank. I need to make a deposit. Okay. So we got in the car, drove down to the bank, made the deposit. And it's like, he never needed my help to make a deposit before. And we were just chatting. He pulls into the driveway of Bethel. Halfway up the parking, up the driveway, he stops the car, puts it in park. And he looks at me and he says, there's something I want to talk to you about. What did I do now? And he began to talk about Dover and being a dependent assembly. And he said, we've talked it over, and we think that you and your wife might be able to go down there and do something with God's help. Would you be interested in going down there? My heart is going a million miles an hour. I look at him, and I said, well, let me talk to Kay. I'll pray about it, and I'll get back to you on that. Appreciate you thinking of us. Pulled in, he went to his office, looked down the hallway, nobody was there. I ran down the hallway, went to the daycare over in the Blue Wing, and I called Kay. I said, guess what just happened? You will never believe this. Anyway, we were appointed to come here. That was the point. The folks here didn't have a chance to be voted on. So we were appointed by the section to come. We came here on a Wednesday night, walked through the door, and the people had gathered over on this side of the church, and I began to share with them and talk a little bit to them. And Thelma Reen raised her hand, and I said, yes. She said, what is your name? That was our beginning. And so I introduced myself to this congregation. Our first Sunday morning, if you counted all the people and all the bugs and the mice or whatever, there were 29 here that were left at that time. We used to meet Wednesdays over at the parsonage. We used to have Bible study in the living room. There were 6 people in our first Wednesday night Bible study. But God began to work. He began to move. It was March that I arrived here, and guess what time it was? Easter time. And I decided I was going to hit the ground running. And so I came up with an Easter outreach program, just a little 3-week thing. It wasn't very much, to kind of just bring some encouragement to the people that were here. And the support we got was just overwhelming. We set up a goal, and people began to invite people into the church, and people started coming. I found out over the years that doing the Easter outreach and big Sundays that I learned from Pastor Castellani at that time and from Jack Hiles would bring people in, and they would come out for the big days, and then the attendance would drop. But then when you had another one, they would come and they would come, and eventually they would get saved. They would join the church. They become workers in our church. Some even later became deacons within this church. Started out with 29 people. We had first month's offering was $1,000, and I think it was $7. But it was just enough to keep all bills current, and it never stopped. It kept growing, and it kept building year after year after year. The numbers began to grow, and the people started saying, Pastor, what do we have to do to become a sovereign church again? We want to become a sovereign church. And I'd go to the committee, and they'd say, well, you got to do this, and then you got to do that. Finally, the people said, Pastor, what do we have to do to become sovereign again? And so I went to the committee. I said, the people are itching to become a sovereign. I said, what is the bottom line? What do we have to do? And they said, you have to pay off the back loans to the contractors. And once that debt is cleared, you are free to become a sovereign assembly again. So I took this wall over here and I made a big mountain on it. Put little sticks of dynamite that were valued at a certain amount of money. Put the goal up there, and I said, when that mountain is moved, we are finally going to become a sovereign assembly again. And just like always, the people in this church stood with us, and they began to do it. And it wasn't too long, and we blew that baby away. And what a day of celebration it was when this church became a sovereign assembly again. There was a lot of work that needed to be done over those years. It took us 3 years to become a sovereign assembly again. But the work that you folks accomplished was just amazing. The renovations over in the parsonage that took place, the paving of that mud hole that was a mud hole out there. There was no stones. It was no porch roof. There were just 2 steel columns. People dropped by the parsonage and said, is that building for sale? No, it's not for sale. We are using it, thank you. And I told the board, we have got to do something to make it look like there's something going on here. And they did. The stair railings, the kitchen got taken care of. Air conditioning got put in this church. Thank the Lord. This place gets hot in the summer, let me tell you, without that air conditioning there. Ministries began to spring up with the church, revamped the Sunday school. Children's church started growing, the youth, the missionettes, the rangers we kicked in, the women's ministry, men's prayer breakfast, the choir. We're praying about that drum set on the holy ground of choir over there. I was a little disappointed when I came in and saw all that this morning. This was a great church. It was an awesome church. I had to be careful what I said from this pulpit. If I said I liked something or whatever, didn't like something, I was in big trouble. One day in a message, I said, you know what? I don't like the color red. Just can't stand red. Next Sunday, I walk in. After Sunday school, people were coming. I'm talking to different ones. And I walk up the front, and I turn around, and I look. And there's all these little giggly faces out there looking at me. And there's all these people with red shirts, red hats. I had to be careful about that kind of thing. One time I was talking about, you know, God looks out and he can see the stars and he knows them just like that by name. I said, as a pastor, you know, you look at the congregation, I can tell who's there and who's not there because, you know, everybody sits on the same pew every week. So guess what happened the next Sunday? Next Sunday I walk in and there's that stupid grin on the people's faces again. And they had all changed seats.
And they still do that.
And they're looking for my reaction. You know, they're looking how I'm going to react to them. If I said I liked a certain thing, I like fudge. There was fudge waiting for me that week. If I liked a certain pie, there was pie. You know, I mean, it was there. Yeah. I said I like big cars, and I liked Lincoln. And one time for pastor appreciation, they gave me a little Lincoln Town Car. Sometime later, they gave me a big picture of a Lincoln Town Car. It's getting better. And then one year, they rented me a Lincoln Town Car. Beautiful white one. It was sitting out there like a white stallion in the parking lot. And for a week, I wasn't in the church office. I was just driving. God was good. God was so good. And he blessed me with a wonderful, caring, loving congregation. And you will never be forgotten by my family, let me tell you. I said it the last time I spoke here at another anniversary. Before this, I don't know if I'll make 100. But no congregation ever treated me and my family any better than you people. You are absolutely awesome, and I want you to know we love you very, very much. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting us.
Telling the guys, let's go play some softball. We'll never forget the days of the Sunday school picnics, playing softball, and the aches and the pains and that comes along with that, right? Neil and Cindy could not be here today. They had some other engagements, but they do send their love. And because this is where they were really, they grew up at. Whenever you think about the different things, I was asked to reflect on the fondest memories while here at Dover Assembly. I came to the scripture, Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And that's what we can truly say. Great is thy faithfulness. Back in 1989, I got a call from Mr. Steve Parthree. He asked about coming to Dover to candidate, and that was all that it wrote. We moved on election day in November of 89. Mr. Steve, I did not vote that day. But we have some great memories that we look back at. And Rhonda and I congratulate you on 75 years of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We didn't think of Dover Assembly as another place of work. We have thought about it many times over. It was a special place of God's family. Our memories, of course, are both family and church. You got to remember when we came here that we lived in the mountains. Our kids, we didn't really have neighbors. And the kids played in the woods. So the first thing that they saw was at the door of the steps there, Kay had planted a rose bush. And one day, Neil and Cindy came in and said, "Mommy, we took care of that picker bush for you." They chopped it down. Because it was a picker bush, and they knew that it was not good. And then, Ron and I were trying to find out one day from Cindy who Carlos was. Carlos is over there. You see, Carlos came every week. He was the cleaning man called Carl Perry. But Cindy could not say Carl. She said Carlos. So for a long time, we could not figure out, who's Carlos? One day we found out it was Carl. Cindy had a little plastic three-wheel tricycle. Was one of those ones that she would just go around the church constantly. Put the brakes on and spin around until she wore the front wheel out. Cindy was also our private investigator. One night, somebody had come into the parking lot, dropped off some food in boxes, and she told us about it. So we came over from the bedroom into her room there, and it was also her office, and it was AKA the purple room. And she went and would told us about these ones dropping this off. So what happened was I came downstairs, went outside, and they were just outside there. So I opened the door, I put them inside. All of a sudden, not too long after that, here comes this car back. And she says, "They're back." We run over. In the meantime, Rhonda hits the door, busts her elbow. And she's on the floor in the bedroom there, and we're trying to figure out who these people are. I have my binoculars there at the time, so I'm looking. And I'm looking to find out who they are. Did not know who they are. They get out of the car, and they're looking at each other, and they're saying, "How in the world did that food get inside the doors?" So they dropped off more. So all of a sudden, Rhonda and I and the kids, we're heading to the ER because Rhonda busted up her elbow. Next day, of course, was Sunday. And then after that, Monday, and we call the cops. The cops say to Rhonda, "Why are you calling me now if this happened on Saturday? It's not going to do us any good now." She said, "Well, we do have a license plate number." He said, "Ma'am, that'll work." So he calls it, figures out the number, gets the people there on the line, and says that they did drop it off. They were cleaning out an old basement, and the food was years old. And he goes and he calls back and he says to us, says, "What do you want them to do?" And I said, "Well, we can take care of it." And he said, "I'd have them come back and get it." So they came back and got it, and they weren't too happy. Neil started to hunt while here at Dover. And he is still hunting to this day. At 5:30 last night, I get a call. "Dad, I shot a buck." So at 5:30 last night, I'm getting my hunting clothes on and I'm going tracking a deer. But he started to hunt here. Back in the back here, he took a lot of deer out. Now this is the way it went when we started to hunt. I said to him, "Neil," I said, "I'll tell you what, this is the way it goes. When you get a deer, I'll dress it out. If I get a deer, you dress it out." I got tired of dressing out deer. So we got to get this thing changed around. I'm tired of it. He started to play sports here. And yes, there were a few windows broken. Even a church van window broke one time. Neil, we were young, or he, when he was younger, we were down at the Dover High School. We were looking there, just walking around, and he looked up and he said, "Dad, do you think I'll graduate from here?" "Well, you know pastors, you know that. I can't guarantee that." All I said to him, I said, "Neil," I said, "someday you might." And he did in year 2000. And then there was the blizzards. There was two blizzards while we lived here. And we found ourselves inside, and we had a little mat, so the kids got us to slide down the steps. And then we went from there, we to the back of the parsonage there, on the where you go downstairs to the basement on that roof, and we started sliding off that. And then we started to ice skate on the parking lot. Made a good ice skating rink right over here. The sun don't hit it. Then I remember the Conley boys coming over. Remember Sue, when the boys came over, we got to chip the ice and shovel snow. Then also, I remember we wanted to get a pool. So I asked the board, I said, "Would you mind if we would put up a pool in the backyard?" They said they didn't mind. So I went a little step further. "You think you could put a fence up for us?" They didn't mind. I said, "You think you can run electric to it?" They didn't mind, and I stopped asking. I thought, I better stop while I'm ahead, but they were very gracious to allow us to do that. We also saw God do some amazing things spiritually. God moved in great ways here in the altars. Remember one time, Bill and we were in the choir, going back to the choir, Herb. And the guys were there, and Bill and I got talking. We usually get goofed off, right, Darlene? And one time there was a part in that she was trying for the guys to get, and it was, "I love you." And she said, man, I love you. And we said, darling, we love you too. We don't know how much singing we got done and that, but we had some good times, right, Bill? We saw children grow up and become young adults. We had the privilege to perform many weddings while we were here, 17 of them. We also had the sad privilege of conducting funerals for loved ones while we were here, 31. We saw God's power work around the altars as hungry hearts responded to God's voice. We saw God's Holy Spirit move in lives where lives were changed and touched in a positive way. In 1990, the church board saw a need to purchase a 15-passenger van. In 91, 92, the new church sign was put up. We also stepped out in faith to hire some youth pastors to assist in the leadership here. The board also saw a need for a chairlift for the physically challenged members. We were privileged and blessed to have a puppet team that blessed our church for over 10 years. Doing kids' crusades called the Puppeteers for Jesus, who also blessed other churches in the surrounding area. We were blessed to have many dedicated and committed leaders. We were blessed with a congregation who had a vision. And because of that, this land over here was purchased for additional parking with God's help. And it was paid off in less than 4 years. To God be the glory. A lot of that was due to the WM yard sales. We can't forget about the yard sales. Many construction projects were done. But here's the key to all these fond memories. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, one plants, one water, but God gives the increase. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, it says this: so build we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. That wasn't because of me. It's because they had a mind to work. God was doing a work in their life. They had a will to work. They had a heart to work. And so we say, to God be the glory. Great things He has done. And great things He will continue to do. God bless you for 75 years and many more to come. God bless you, Pastor Jeff and Anna, and the congregation of Dover Assembly of God. We love you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Pastor Rimes, you shared about the Puppeteers for Jesus. And the first time I experienced anybody from Dover Assembly of God, when I was just a associate pastor in Granville Assembly, is a small church. We couldn't afford a professional team. And so somebody says, call Dover, they have a good team. You know what? They were a professional team. They came in and did one of the best kids' crusades we ever had. And I don't think, I don't even think you guys took any money that time from us. You just volunteered the time, heard this church is struggling and needs a hand. What a blessing you guys were. And what is even more of a blessing is able to come here and work with the very same people who 15 years earlier came and ministered and blessed us and the children in Granville at New Life Assembly. It's, you know, this church has such an impact on people's lives. And as I look back over the years that we had spent here, I think one of the biggest impacts it had was on my life. I got a lot of great memories of this place, a lot of untold stories. And I'm just going to share some of the things with you. One of our children, our youngest child, was born here, right down in York Hospital. So we have ties here, and we've been talking with the kids a little bit about Dover and preparing for coming here. And unfortunately, I asked Abby, I says, what do you remember about the people of Dover? And she was very honest, and she's very blunt, and she just basically said, nothing. So don't take offense. She was just a little child when she left here, but she is growing up. As you remember, we had five children, Philip, Hannah, Ethan, Sarah, and Abby. Philip is now 19, going on 20 years old, working up in Perry County. Our daughter, Hannah, is now a freshman at Evangel University in Springfield, Missouri. And the other three children are at home. They weren't able to make it this morning with commitments with Bible quiz and worship team and things of that nature. But the older four at least sends their greetings and wishes they could be able to be here with you this morning. Some things have changed in our family, though. For years, I'm a man of great intentions. And when I die, the epitaph of my tombstone is going to say that, a man of great intentions. My wife always wanted to adopt or do foster care. And you know what? I strung her along for years. Yes, honey, we will do that. You know, when the finances come in and when the house is there and when we have a big enough car. And I made all kinds of excuses over the years until one day God says, I'm tired of the games. And I come home and my wife says, honey, there's these two kids that need a place to stay for a week or so. Could we take them in? I'm thinking, I can handle anything for 2 weeks. Then we get to meet the grandparents, and I walk into this room where we're going to meet the grandparents, and there's not two kids, there's three kids. Mm-hmm. Her and God are working together. Then after 2 weeks, it's a very sad situation. In all honesty, the parents quit rehab and took off, and the county says, hey, we're having some issues with that. Could you watch them for a few more weeks? So we watched them for a few more weeks, and then the parents skipped out again, and well, that was almost 2 years ago, and hopefully February 1st or sometime in February, March, we'll be adopting three new children. But there's some great memories I have of this place, and some of them, it was really funny, as we began talking to our children, some of the things that Dave remembered, and probably most of you didn't know this, and I know a couple of these stories you definitely don't know, because me and my wife were surprised to find out what PKs do. Remember when Pastor Rick and Alicia were here, we'd have a movie night, and every now and then we'd sneak in here and get the projector, and we'd put the movie on the big screen. We ate the popcorn outside, though, with no food in the sanctuary. But you had your bake sales in your yard. Says, Lois, where are you at? Lois, my children told me something about you.
Really?
Yeah, really. Because you were the lady that sat behind the desk and collected all the money. And Dick, I think you had something to do with it too, because you'd be sorting things out and you'd go to my kids. Wow, wouldn't this be great in your room? So they would take whatever the item was over to Lois and says, oh, don't worry about it, just put it on your dad's tab. I wondered why I had to give my whole paycheck back to you every time there was a yard sale. But somewhere I have something. I believe Lois, too, this will go to the women's funds for the yard sale. This, one day my two oldest sons, Philip and Ethan, were standing out here by this back door doing something, and somebody pulled up, and I don't know who it was, but they gave my boys a big plate of chocolate brownies. And says, could you take this downstairs for the yard sale? It made it to the furnace room, where they ate every stinking one. I disciplined them for that severely once hearing that, not because they took it without paying for it, but they didn't give me any. So, Lois, $5 for the women's fund. But we had some great memories here as we were able to minister and join with you to reach out into this area. I remember the first time we did Light Tonight, and we had a small group of people. And over the years, we developed that, and as it expanded out, more and more people. And I remember hearing even years later and talking to Phil at some of the Ranger events. It carried on, and people would come to the church, and kids would come to Rangers and Missionettes because of this ministry. And you know what? It was something that you believed in and something that you grabbed a hold of, and you were using it to reach out to this community which desperately needs the love of Christ in their lives. You see, there's many stories here that me or you have no idea. I remember a time when a Muslim family came to our church and was involved with it for probably about 3 or 4 years until they ended up moving on and off. And I still touch base with them every now and then. And we had the opportunity to lead a Muslim girl to the Lord here. And you had the opportunity to minister to the family and show the love of Christ. Remember a time when there's families in need and burned out, and we'd raise money and give clothing and food and things of that nature to just touch. Where did these people go? I don't know. But you know what? It was a person's life. It was touched and changed because of the love of Christ in your life. You had the opportunity to take whatever you had, whatever talents, whatever resources, and be able to give of them minister to them in the name of Jesus. You see, you guys took it very literally when Jesus says, give a cup of cold water in my name. It may not have been the biggest thing, but there's so many small building blocks that you've built into the kingdom of God. 75 years does not even come close to explain what we're celebrating today. It's not years we're celebrating. It's lives that have been touched because of Jesus Christ. It is lives that have been touched because of you, of what you were able to do in these people's lives. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I thank God every time I remember you. And you know what? I thank God for Dover Assembly of God and what he has done here and what he's going to continue to do here. Unlike Paul, he is able to speak eloquently to you, to the Church of Philippi, and encourage them. And I'm not sure if I'm quite as spiritual as Paul. But matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I'm not quite as spiritual as Paul was, and able to write the things that he wrote and be able to share with you. But God did so many wonderful things here. He did so many wonderful things during our time here. I remember one time I went away for the weekend, and it happened to be the weekend that the intelligent design debate broke out. How many people remember that? And because we were right here, my wife calls me frantically up at the cabin. I says, what's wrong? And she's telling me what's going on. And I says, oh, that's kind of an issue. She goes, yes, but the press is on their way here right now. I says, well, go to it, baby. And that was her 5 minutes of fame with the intelligent design. I remember the time when my wife went in for a simple surgery and spent the next 3 months in the hospital. And you guys helped take care of us. As I had a newborn baby, I didn't know what to do. I mean, it's my fifth child, and I still didn't know what to do with it. But thank God you guys were there and gathered around us and helped us. And I remember calling, I think it was Jonathan or Chris Conley, to come over. And I was on my way to the emergency room with my wife. And there he is, worse off than me, watching my kids. Oh, my gosh. But you know what? They did a great job. You guys did well over the years. How many people remember when my van burned up in the front? Oh, right out there, right up in front of the van. We get a knock on the door like 2 o'clock in the morning, and this drunk comes to the door and says, there's a car fire outside. I thought it was an accident. I run around, and there's my van right in front of the church, up in flames. Brand new windows put it into a church just a few months before. Two of them popped out right out here. But you know what? God was good. I spent $1,500 on the van and got $3,000 from the insurance company. God is good. I'm looking for another cheap van. Amen. No. But you know what? As we look back over the years, whether it's the time I was here or any of the time of the predecessors are here, or even the years that are waiting before us, as long as Jesus tarries, God has a plan for us. And it may not be the biggest things and the grandest things, but each time we do something, we touch somebody's lives. And I can't begin to tell you, and I can't begin to imagine the number of people that have had some contact, whether it's in the sanctuary or outside this building, that have contact, that have been touched because of your love, because of your mercy, and because of your generosity. I want to encourage you. You've done it for 75 years. What's another 75? Amen? Amen. Continue in doing what God has called you to do, and you will see the blessing of it in this church. God bless you.
It's good to see so many of you again. I didn't know I was going to be asked to say anything, so that's dangerous because my wife says when you don't study, you preach longer. So, but I did learn over the years I pastored, don't infringe on the superintendent's time, because I could be your next missionary to Siberia. So, yeah. You know, life and ministry is often a lot about connections. And over the years, we've had many good connections with your congregation, with your pastors. My home church was Bethel Assembly in Carlisle. And when I was pastoring in Western Pennsylvania, I heard that Herb and Kay Weirbach were asked to be on staff at Carlisle. And I said, oh, they're good. Really good in music. And Carlisle needs the help. You remember those days. And then years later, when I left the church in Allenbank, Herb left here in 89 and followed me in Allenbank at the Assembly of God Church. I got to know Pastor Tim while I was pastoring in New Cumberland. I pastored there for quite a few years and got to know he and Rhonda and their family. Ended up doing their taxes and Neil's taxes and Cindy's taxes. And it was a privilege because rarely do I have that many rich people that I do taxes for. And then, of course, I got to meet David as he was pastor here, and Denny Sproul, I believe, is your uncle. Is that correct? Denny called me. He said, you're not far from my nephew, David. Keep an eye on him. I said, why? He said, oh, not bad. He said, just I care about my nephew. Make sure that he's taken care of. And then David contacted me. I was presbyter at that time, and I've been, I guess, president close to 14 years now, and David called and said that he felt that God was leading him on from here. And at that point is when I became more involved with the congregation and board meetings and congregational meetings, and then in the interim, a lot of preaching here, filling in on Sundays. And I remember the Sunday after you elected a pastor, your last Sunday without your new pastor, and I said to you, you know, I'm happy for you that you got a pastor, but I'm also upset because now I can't come back and preach anymore. Because we loved coming here, loved the congregation, got to meet you, got to know you and care about you. And that has not changed. And your new pastor has been very gracious to ask us to come and speak often when he's away. And it's just been a great honor to continue that relationship over the years. When Pastor Tim began, he began with a scripture that had the word faithfulness in it. And when I was thinking about this day, that's what I thought about more than anything else. I pastored for 18 years in New Cumberland, and we had several families from this church that ended up in that church at one point. One of them was one of my board members, Bob Beamer. Just a wonderful man of God, a tremendous leader, great teacher. And Bob told me of how Pentecost came to York County, and it was really in this area. And this church greatly involved over the years, and I want to thank you for remaining faithful to Pentecostal witness. Some churches have bailed on that in recent years, and I'm so thankful that you've been faithful to the full gospel message, faithful to preaching the gospel and continuing that Pentecostal heritage that you have. God is still working by His Holy Spirit in great, great ways, and you're a testimony to that. When I met this congregation, you had fewer than 20 members. You were a dependent assembly again. There was only about 15 here at times. I remember some of those days. But your faithfulness has been rewarded. And look at what God has done in recent years in the church as this church has grown and grown and grown. God is so faithful because you have been faithful. Over the years that I pastored a church that had 7 in the congregation at one time. They would meet for prayer Sundays, divide the bills up that came in that week and take them home and pay them to keep the church open. That congregation of seven became a congregation of over 200. And God blessed because people were faithful. So God's always going to be faithful. But it's so important that you always remain faithful. Faithful to the full gospel witness, faithful to the Lord, and faithful in continued ministries. And I want to be faithful to what I said. I'm done now so the superintendent can have his turn. God bless you.
Isn't it fun to see what God's done in the past and to see how God's moved? And the great thing is we talk about how God worked back then. But the reason it's so important is not for what is happening at that particular moment, but what happens from that moment on. The girls who were up here singing, their lives are a result of something that happened 30 years ago. So who knows what God's going to do 30 years from now? And who of the younger people here will be doing something awesome for God 30 years from now? One of the things our home church was known for, we were always a lot of folks in our church that were called out of church to be preachers. I was one of them, and that's a sign of a great church. And the one thing that's happening here, the young gentleman that took the offering today, he's now in Berean, or global now. And he's studying, where are you at, Keith? He's going through it now, and so someday you're going to be up here doing the 75 years for somebody else. So praise God. God's continuing to plan for what he's going to do in the future. Amen? Amen. Well, it's my privilege to present to you our district superintendent. He is in charge of all of the AG churches in Pennsylvania and Delaware, and he has great leadership. I appreciate his style. I appreciate his just who he is as a person. And would you welcome Pastor Stephen Torville?
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Anybody notice what I do with this $5 bill? Just you keep it up there for just a little bit of enticement, I suppose. But I understand that the longer a person preaches, the less the offering is for them. So I just recognize that too. But thank you, Pastor Jeff, for the privilege of being here with you today and to be able to share in this important milestone for you as a church. I'm never sure why they call these anniversaries as compared to birthdays. You were born 75 years ago. We're celebrating an anniversary. You figure it out and let me know what the difference is between that. But whichever one it is, congratulations. And we're just excited to have the opportunity to be here and certainly to share in this time with you. Pastor Jeff, could I ask you to come back up here? I'd just like to give this to you as a memento of our time of celebration here today. This says the Pennsylvania Delaware Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God conveys its congratulations to Dover Assembly of God for 75 years of service to our Lord and the community of Dover, Pennsylvania. And we congratulate you on that, and may God give you many, many, many more years of fruitful ministry for the glory of God. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. It is a privilege to be here and to share in this time of ministry with so many of our friends that fellow pastors here in the Pendel Ministry Network. We currently have over 430 churches that make up our district, our network. We've grown to the place of almost, is it about 1,200 we're at now, isn't it, Rhonda? And so it's just amazing how God continues to pour out his spirit to call young men and young women to serve him and to follow in that. We understand the fact that I'm sure that you do, that, you know, the leadership is so critically important. The people that you elect on your board, you want to have the finest person's spiritual qualities, etc., that you can possibly have to serve on those, in those roles and on your board. But certainly your pastoral leadership through the years is critically important. And I want you to know from my heart to you, my respect and my appreciation for Pastor Jeff and for his wife and their ministry here among you. You are blessed to have them as your leaders, as your pastors. And this day, we really look to them and thank you for leading Dover Assembly of God for your ministry here. And I just think you'd want an opportunity to show them your love here today. Would you do that? Amen. It is an exciting time, and I know that the one quality of the preacher who's the last one up is that I'm the one that's standing between you and lunch, and so I am going to be sensitive to that. As I sometimes say, my wife has an attention span of 20 minutes, and so when she leaves, I know my time is over. That wouldn't be so bad, but most people follow her out the door, so that... She's never done that yet, but there's always a first time, isn't there, Margie? But anyway, would you stand with me? You've been sitting for quite a while, and just a little change of pace, if you can stand without taking a rush toward the back door here. But just a couple of verses of Scripture I want to read to you today from the book of Philippians. I love this epistle of Philippians, just a couple of short chapters, but I love this passage of Scripture. This is what the Bible says, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel, from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for this wonderful congregation. Thank you for their faithfulness, as we've already heard, their faithfulness through the years. We're grateful, Lord, for people who serve so diligently, not only the pastoral leadership that you've given them through the years, but the consistency of your people to be faithful to your family, to your church, to this assembly. We thank you for them, Lord. We recognize that the church goes on, it goes forward on her knees. We thank you for the many prayer warriors who have made this a great church through the years. And we pray that today would be simply the beginning of a new chapter in their lives, and may you be glorified through them as a result, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Please be seated. You've seen and you've heard before, honoring the past while preparing for the future. I love that, Pastor Jeff. That is just so succinct in the way we need to think about these kind of celebrations. I've heard it said, and maybe you've heard it said as well, that never let your memories of the past be greater than your vision for the future. That's another way to say exactly what you have on your slogan here. But never allow your memories of the past to be greater than your vision for the future. When that becomes reversed, you're in the process of dying. That's true. For the believer, there is no death. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so for the believer, it's always a matter of looking forward to what God has next for us. Even when my mother passed away with a stroke at 73 years of age, which was way too young, obviously, but there was still a future for her because of the promises of God that are yea and amen to them that believe. And we thank God for that, looking to the future, what God has in store for us. Well, when I was thinking about this morning, I wanted to share this passage of Scripture with you, and just a very brief portion of it for the next few moments. And because I wanted to call this the marks of a great church. And sometimes when you think about greatness in local congregations or whatever, you sometimes think of great preaching, you sometimes think of great worship teams and the music, and or maybe buildings or other kind of things that we tend to think of when we think of a church being a great church. But I really am convinced greatness for a local congregation is not just about bodies, bucks, and buildings. It's so much more that's deeper than those kinds of surface issues that tend to comprise what we think of as being great churches or good churches or what have you. And so there's three issues that I want to just kind of tease out of this passage of Scripture here this morning for a few moments that I trust will reinforce what you have done in the last 75 years and to encourage you toward keeping that vision for the next years until Jesus comes. And so from this passage of Scripture, I particularly want to focus on verse 5. Because Paul is talking here about whenever he thinks of them and he's praying for them, and he tells them the reason why they are so fond in his heart. that affection that they had for one another. I don't have time this morning to kind of go back into the history of the Church of Philippi, but it was started, if you can read it for yourself later on, in the book of Acts chapter 16. And maybe you remember that, the Macedonian call, and how that eventually, because of that vision Paul had at night, then they went and ended up in Philippi to fulfill the call of that Macedonian issue. And it was there by the river that they met a group of women who were praying by the river. That was the very beginning. I don't think anybody raised their hand that they'd been here for 75 years, did they? I didn't see those hands going up. But there's always a beginning. There's always a starting place. And I will tell you, for the body of Christ, for the kingdom of God, for the church of Jesus Christ, it's not just about organizational structures. It's not just about strategic planning. And I'm not opposed to any of those things that we may think of in terms of organizational structures. Those things are important. But I will tell you that the Church of Jesus Christ is not really contingent upon that alone. But it really begins, even it did in Philippi, at that place of prayer, where they were beginning at that river, where they were seeking God and praying and seeking His face. And I will tell you without any shadow of a doubt in my mind that the future of any church is so wrapped up in the core of people praying and seeking God's face. It's not in the outward stuff alone. And I'm not saying the outward pieces are unimportant. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying the strategic plan is unimportant. You know, God's the greatest planner of them all. You know, but I am saying the core piece is the spiritual dynamic that makes up who we are as the people of God. And so Paul says here in this passage of Scripture, he says, I always remember with joy. And the first thing he says in verse 5 is because of your partnership in the gospel. Your partnership in the gospel. I love that phrase. King James Version, I believe, uses the word your fellowship. That partnership. Whenever we think of that word partnership, in American culture at least, we often think of some kind of contractual arrangement, a legal documentation that has been entered into. Perhaps it's two or three people who gather together and they decide to go into business together. So they form a partnership. And there is some kind of legal arrangement that takes place there. But in the New Testament days, when they were talking of partnerships, it was so much more about relational connectedness than it was about any kind of legal entanglements or legal processes that would take place. And so when we look at this, Paul said that he remembered them in prayer with joy because of their partnership in the gospel. I just want to reference this with you today because of the importance of you being partners together in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is, well, let me put it this way. I really believe that there is no such thing as an independent Christian. You cannot do church alone. Think about that for a moment. You cannot do church alone. If you're a Twitter, that's a good thing to tweet. Any tweeters out there? Yeah. That's one thing I've refused to do. I've figured out the email. Okay, I get on Facebook once every month or so, whatever. But tweeting, you know, you guys that are maybe a little younger in your orientation do that and so forth. But you don't do church alone is the point. To do church, you have to do that together in partnership. You have to do that with other believers. And that sometimes is the challenge that we face, because it's easier, a whole lot easier, if it was just about me and God, you know? I could get a whole lot easier in my walk if it was just me and God. But it's not just about me and God. It's about the church. It's about the partnership that we share together. It's about, I don't know whether to use the word Sister Susie or not, because I don't know if we have any Sister Susies here today. But if you're Sister Susie, forgive me. I'm not referencing anybody in particular. But it's a whole lot tougher when you've got to deal with Sister Susie about something, you know. But it's in those relationships that we have that God has a way of working within our lives to help us to get closer to Him. Because you don't do church alone. We do church together. It is in the body of Christ that makes all the difference. When Paul here talks about partnership, I think of the first person that they had met when they were forming the church there, just beginning in Philippi. A lady by the name of Lydia. You remember that story from Acts 16? And it was there. I can't help but wonder through the years, Lydia's part. She's mentioned at the beginning. We really don't hear a whole lot more about her. But I believe it's those kinds of individuals that become the glue that make a church great. Because they're not there because of their notoriety, necessarily because of their skills and their excellence, their beauty, or their speaking skills. But it's all about that glue that makes that partnership happen. We are here today. We're celebrating the church's 75th anniversary. But really, it's about you as individuals that make all the difference in the world, in the Church of Jesus Christ, because of your partnership in the gospel. God's called you into the fellowship of His Son, 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says there. And that kind of a reference is absolutely to be affirmed, to be celebrated, to be rejoiced at the realities of who you are. When I think, for example, of the last almost 100 years of the Pennsylvania-Delaware District, we are just about to celebrate our centennial celebration this week and all the way through next May. That will be our district's, Pendel District, our 100th birthday. When I think of what has happened through churches like you who have given to missions for so many years, you have a missionary that comes through and shares their heart, and you are caught by that vision, and you sign off that monthly pledge. I don't have any idea. I didn't have a chance this morning to look at a board someplace or whatever, but I know you're a missions-minded church. And when you give to the missionary, that's, you are partnering with them. And this is the idea that I think illustrates it so clearly, to me at least. And that is that God has called a missionary to go overseas. Whether it's Siberia or someplace else. So just, yeah, we won't go there, Randy. But if God puts a burden on someone's heart to go to the mission field, they have a responsibility to fulfill that call. The problem is they can't do that by themselves. How is a missionary going to go to Africa or India or South America or Alaska or Russia or any place? How are they going to be able to do that? They have to have partners. They have to have people that will come alongside of them and say, we're going to pray for you on a regular basis and lift you up. So it's not just some kind of emissary or representative, but it's someone who God has called to fulfill that ministry. And so you as a church and you as individuals commit to that partnership to pray and to give so that they can actually take themselves and their families and go to another part of the world. Why is that a partnership? Because God has called every one of us to be missionaries. You and I, we have responsibility in this partnership together to reach our world for Christ. We call it the Great Commission. We have that responsibility. We can't do that ourselves. We can't go to Siberia or to India or wherever, but we can be partners in it by sending those whom God has called. That partnership, it's not just a matter of give us your money. It's not about the money. It's about the partnership. It's about how together we fulfill the mission that God has given to us of reaching our world for Christ. And so Paul says here that I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. And he uses this phrase as well. He says, from the first day until now. From the first day until now. If you like to take notes, then certainly encourage you to do that. My wife likes to have me to alliterate things so she could remember it easier. So if you're following that kind of issue, my first point is our partnership. My second part is the persistence or the process that we use. But from that first day until now, it's serving the Lord is not just about a decision that you make for Christ. Most of us here perhaps, and if you haven't, I pray that there will come a point in your life when you will make a commitment to become a follower of Jesus. That's a wonderful commitment. It's the best decision that you can ever make in your life is that you're going to give your life to Christ and make Him Lord of your life. But it's not the end of the story when you come to an altar or when you say a prayer of repentance. That's not the end of the story. That's only the beginning of the journey. And it is from that first day until now that talks about it. That it is the journey that we are on, not only that decision that was once made, but also that continual process, the persistence of continuing to be faithful in this partnership that God has called us to. I have, as a pastor for many years, I used to tell people who would come to me for pastoral premarital counseling, we call that. And I would always say to them that you're about to make a commitment. But here's the thing. You have to be committed to your commitment. You have to be committed to the commitment. Somebody said to me not too long ago that they were starting a new diet. And January 1st, I'll be starting another one probably. But the point that she made to me was that what I'm talking about here today is that you've got to be committed to that commitment. It's one thing to stand before an altar and give your life to Christ and become a Christian. It's one thing to stand in front of a preacher and make the marriage vows of commitment to one another. But the question is not only will you make that commitment today, but will you be committed to that commitment? And I believe that's what Paul's talking about here from the first day until now is a continuation of that process. 75 years demonstrates the persistence of being committed to that commitment. And I applaud you this morning. I congratulate you on your faithfulness. Because as you know, if you've been here for a while, you know not everybody fulfills that. Not everybody is committed to that commitment. Not everybody continues to walk in that ways with the Lord. But I will tell you that even with the story of Philippi and all that the church went through and its struggles to survive and the issues that went along with that, we discover that being committed to that. And you know, sometimes we feel like that, well, you know, we're different. You know, we don't have to worry about failure or about being unfaithful to God, and you know, God's in this place, and all that is certainly true. But, you know, we always have to keep watch, don't we? We always have to stand guard of our hearts. Because if you've been around for a while, you know that not everybody continues in that walk. And it usually only happens a little bit at a time. You know, a decision here, a decision there. And before you know it, you're growing colder in your walk with the Lord. But it's that persistency, day in and day in out, as Paul says here, from the first day until now. The third part I just like to bring out of this brief verse of Scripture here today. Paul says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. In other words, the gospel is what I'm talking about. It's the proclamation. If you're following my P's here, it's the proclamation of the good news. Now, there's a lot of folks, I really believe, that when they talk about the gospel, they talk about the good news, we hear different things. For example, if I talk about the gospels, the first thing you may think of is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? The first four books of the New Testament. And they are the gospels. But when you think about those gospels, those four letters that were written, those four different epistles that were written for the church, the reality is that they were telling a story in those four gospels. And it is really about that story, how Jesus came, how he was born, and how of a virgin, and how he lived his life and performed the miracles. He taught us the truth of what it meant to know God and to follow him, and then eventually to suffer and to die upon that cross, be buried, and to be raised again. That's the story of Emmanuel, God with us. That's the gospel. That's the good news that Jesus came, that God came, Emmanuel, God with us. God came, and the good news that God cares about us individually, about every one of us. And the proclamation of that gospel, the gospel is that proclamation to people. Now here's the thing that I think is important for us this morning to keep in mind. And that is that the story of Jesus coming can become old hat for us. If we're not careful, it can become so mundane because we've heard it our whole lives. That recently, we had the news on, and you could hear the song in the background of the newsreel, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. And whenever I hear that, whether it's in the church setting or some other kind of context, I can't help but wonder, do they understand really what they're singing? Because that is the good news in essence of what it means for God to come to save us from our sins. And it feels good. I mean, our culture that's one of the songs that our culture has embraced wholeheartedly. But the truth behind it is the story of Jesus. But the story of Jesus is not just good news so you can come to Jesus and God will forgive you and you can do anything you want. That's not the good news. The good news is not a license to do anything you care to do. It is the good news that if we come to Him and we turn from our sin, that God will embrace us and love us and forgive us. It's not the good news that we can do whatever we please. That's the American gospel. Can I just be honest with you today? The American gospel is say a little prayer and then go the rest of the week and do whatever you want to. That's not the good news. The good news is that Jesus came to save us from our sins. To save us from our sins. And that is such good news because no longer need we be trapped by the sin of this world, by the deceitfulness of riches, by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, all of those things that the Bible speaks about. But the good news is good news for us that Jesus came to save us and to redeem us. The gospel, the proclamation. And that really is the part that the church is about. See, the flip side of that is sometimes when people come into the church and maybe they visit or maybe when we're trying to witness for Christ to somebody else, we're sometimes so worried about our particular doctrinal slant on the church and theology and those kind of things that we try to convince people of our theological bents more than we're concerned about their walk with Jesus. Now, as I was growing up as a young person, I was on the tail end of the Jesus movement. And if you're familiar with what happened there, you know, it was amazing how God would be doing things in young people's lives, and they would come to some of our churches with the long hairs and the tattoos and the rings and their noses and all the other stuff that goes on and still going on today. And, most of our churches, they opened their hearts to them. They recognized that the gospel was not about take your nose ring out and get rid of your tattoo and then you can come to church. Because that's not the good news. The good news is that we come as we are. And Jesus Christ receives us as we are. And it's an amazing thing when the proclamation goes forth not to convince people of our eschatological viewpoints. Half of you don't even know what that is. And that's okay. You don't need to. But you know, when we think about when is Jesus coming, is it pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, is it amillennial, premillennial, who cares? Well, I do. I like to think of myself as a bit of a theologian. But on the other hand, the reality is that doesn't matter when it comes to proclaiming the gospel. The point is Jesus came to save sinners, as the Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. And it doesn't matter what people look like when they come. But what matters is we as the body of Christ, the people of God, are in partnership with God and with one another from the first day until now to proclaim the good news and to share Jesus with people around us. As a believer, I don't encourage you to take your Bible around with you and beat everybody over the head with it. Now, if you have a Bible, you better be reading it. You better be hiding His Word in your heart that you won't sin against God. But I don't think the most effective way of reaching lost people for Jesus is tell them they're going to hell. Now, there's exceptions to that. We had a man in one of our churches that he got saved because he was reading the book of Revelation, and he got so scared of the judgment of God, he said, I got to get saved. I mean, God does that. You know, there are people that need that kind of fear. And, some 30 years later from when that first happened, I was just recently talking with him, still serving God. He got saved out of fear. However God does it, that's okay with me. But I'm just saying our tactic for it ought not to be necessarily just condemning people, but it's the good news is what I'm trying to say. I don't know if I'm saying that all right or not, Pastor Jeff, but you can straighten it all out after I leave. But I hope you get the primary point of why I'm trying to say is that it's about the good news of what Jesus came to do for us. And your faithfulness in the proclamation of the gospel, that probably you're here today because somebody told you that Jesus loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. He cares about you. God loved you so much that he sent his only son to be the savior of the world and to be your savior as well. And so that's pretty simple. That's pretty straightforward. But it's the reality of what makes us the church of Jesus Christ. The partnership, the proclamation, and the persistence of being all he's called us to be. 75 years. I probably won't be here the next 75 either. I'm pretty sure I won't. There are probably very few, except for this little guy up in the front here, might be around yet. But other than that, most of us are not going to be here. But may we continue to be faithful in all he's called us to do and what he's called us to be as we serve him throughout our lives. I want to just have a word of prayer with you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, we hope that ultimately you get one thing out of this service. That it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus because we are his people and we desire, as frail, as faulty as we may be, the reality is we know the grace of God in our lives because he saved us. He's changed us. We're not what we will be. We're not what we were, but we're becoming what he wants us to be. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, let me just say to you, if I missed this opportunity, I would feel like I had neglected it. But if you're here today and don't know Jesus, we want to encourage you just to ask somebody that maybe invited you for pastor or someone else in the leadership here at the church, just how can I become a Christian? How can I become a follower of Jesus? And that's what changes our lives, is when Jesus Christ comes into our hearts and makes us new creatures, the Bible says. I just want to encourage you that way as well, okay? Thank you. Father, thank you today for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity of just sharing your word for these few moments. We thank you for the Benders, Lord, and for your leading them here to this congregation to lead them into the future at this time of, for such a time as this. And we thank you, Lord, for the past. We thank you for the 75 years of the history of this assembly. And we pray, Lord, that they would continue to be faithful to you until you come again. And may you bless them and keep them in all that they do to share the good news of Jesus with others that they come to know. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Jeff.
How many appreciate good word from Brother Steve?
Before we leave, I'd be remiss to not thank all of those who were responsible for today. A lot of the things that went on behind the scenes in preparation for today, if I started naming names, I would miss some. So I just want to say thank you to all of you who were a part of that, to put our church together, prepare everything, nice flowers, everything that's here. We appreciate you. We thank you. And it is a blessing to be a part of what God is doing here. Amen. And you, as much as anybody who stood up here, is a part of what God is doing here. And we're so thankful for your committedness to Dover Assembly, and most importantly, to what Jesus is doing in your life and in this community. My major prayer for this church is it simple. Does it matter that we're here? Does it matter to the people around us, to this community? Does it matter that we're here? Do people know that we're here? And our goal as a church and as individual believers is to make sure that it matters that we're here. As Pastor Steve said, who have you touched? Who have you talked to? It's a one-on-one relationship. And our goal is to win as many people to Christ as possible before his return. Amen. A couple of instructions before we close in prayer. If you have called in or reserved your name at the dinner, please, we're having that at the Dover Fire Hall on Davidsburg Road, not the one over here, but one on Davidsburg. If you do not know how to get there, there are instructions inside your pass out. It's pretty easy. We're just head on over after we leave here, just head on over there, and we will be there in a few minutes. Would you stand as we close this morning in prayer? I'd like one more time for us to show our appreciation to the Lord and what God's done through all of our former pastors as well. Would you show him your appreciation this morning? As Pastor Herb said, and I'm sure all of them have experienced, it's an awesome blessing to know that you're in a place that God called you to be. Because when you know that God has called you to be there, no matter what comes your way in that time, doesn't matter. Because God's placed you there, and God will get you through it and do what he wants to do while you're there. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in and through this church and through the folks who have been through this church, as well as the former pastors, God, who have given their lives to minister to the people that are here. We thank you for their faithfulness. We thank you for the church's faithfulness in being true to the gospel of Christ. And Father, as we look back on these years, we are excited because we know that what you have done then, you will continue to do until Jesus comes. No one knows how many people's lives will be affected in the future with what we do today. So Father, we pray your blessing and your anointing upon this ministry, this church, each person who calls this church their home. Lord, I pray that you would anoint us and continue to use us to fulfill your great commission in the Dover area. Father, we thank you and we love you this morning for what you've done for us. You're so good to us. You're better to us than we deserve. So Father, help us to respond in kind and to love you and appreciate you as much as we can by sharing that love with others. Father, bless our food as we go to fellowship this afternoon and remember what you've done in the past. Bless that time together. And Father, keep us safe as we travel. And always let this be a fond remembrance in our lives of the power of God in operation. And we will thank you now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 God bless you. Have a great time. We will see most of you at the luncheon.